Well, I first want to thank you all for coming and allowing us to present our work before you, and thank Medical Care Section for giving me this opportunity to share this particular this research. I would like to say when I submitted these abstracts, I was at the University of Maryland, and so a good percentage of the work that was I'm presenting today was done at the University of Maryland, but now I'm at Johns Hopkins in the Bloomberg School of Public Health.
Thanks for correcting that. I thought you were at Johns Hopkins.
Yes.
Reading from my script here. Thank you.
That's fine. So first I'll present this paper on the availability of primary care physicians. And this research was funded by a grant from the National Center for Minority Health and Health Disparities. I don't have any thing to disclose with regard to my financial relationships. So one of the things that we're concerned with at the Center for Health Disparity Solutions at Johns Hopkins is the relationship between race and place and health disparities and health care disparities. And so this work here is a result of that research objective. This particular paper wants we look at the association between residential segregation and geographic access to primary physicians. And then in particular, we're interested in whether geographic access differs for African Americans, Hispanics and Asians relative to whites, and then whether segregation at the metropolitan level increases or reduces geographic access to primary care physicians for minority populations. And the background to this is that we know that we see disparities in healthcare utilization, and this is just some data from the National Healthcare Disparities Report. And so we know that minorities are less likely to use primary care services in comparisons to whites. What we're interested in finding out is whether this difference is actually a race difference or whether it's a place difference, in the sense that do we see these differences because of geographic differences in geographic access, not in terms of just preferences with regard to utilization of services. I think most of us are willing to accept the notion that healthcare disparities are related to the five things that are highlighted in black. And there's a lot of work that has been done to look at this. Where we're headed is we want to know whether the things that are highlighted in red are important, and whether what we see is, when we see differences in race, are we also just really observing differences in geographic access, and to the extent of which people's utilization are affected by the social networks in which they are involved in. If you are involved in a social network that prescribes or recommends or advises you to use services in a certain way, then maybe it's the social network that is determining your utilization, not necessarily just your own individual preferences and circumstances. We know that residential segregation, race is related to where you live. Race and ethnicity, and in the past, residential segregation has been used as a means to deny minorities access to public and private community investments, things like school, employment, financing, lending, even location of food and shopping opportunities, recreational facilities. All these things are related to where you reside, where you live. There's a wonderful study by Deaton and Massey called American Apartheid, which sort of looks at the history of residential segregation in the United States. And really, it is a 20th century phenomenon in the sense that we don't really start to see large clusters of African Americans living, or concentration of African Americans living next to us, really until the early 1900s into 1940. Prior to that, we have much more integrated populations. Segregation is related to health care disparities, and there are these studies that have shown the availability of pharmacy services, hospital care. I have a paper in Medical Care Research and Review that looks at health care services. This paper that's in, I believe that's in the Milbank, which looks at physician participation in Medicaid, sort of linking service availability, service use to the percentage of minorities in an area, or and finding that that those things are correlated. There's also we looked at, there certainly is a difference in where minorities receive their health care relative to whites, more likely to use community health centers, more likely to depend on hospital-based care versus office-based care. So what we do in this analysis is we use the census data and data from the American Medical Association to look at the relationship to where primary care physicians are, and is that in related to the racial and ethnic composition of populations by zip code, and then also control for other socioeconomic factors. So the data is primarily from 2006 for the physician data, and the census data is from the 2000 census. So our key variables of interest are whether or not a zip code can be designated as a physician shortage area. And we define primary care physicians as family practice, general practice, internal medicine, pediatricians, and even we include the OBGYNs because some women sometimes use their physician as to provide primary care services. And then we use the threshold that HRSA uses to determine whether a place, area is a HPSA, meaning if your population to PCP ratio is greater than 3,500 people. And then we also then define zip codes as majority Black, Asian, or Hispanic based upon whether 50% of that zip code is one of those groups. And because we know that population by race and ethnicity is not evenly distributed, it's actually fairly lumpy. Using this sort of 50% cutoff, it works actually fairly well. Looking at all the study focuses on metropolitan zip codes, so we don't look at rural areas. And so just looking at the racial composition of zip codes, this is the data that essentially 5% of them are majority African Americans, about almost 4% are majority Hispanic, less than 1% are majority Asian. And most zip codes are as we would expect, are majority white, and you can see less than 10%. 80% less than 10% African American or Hispanic, and 90% less than 10% Asian. A significant number of Black and Hispanics in urban areas live in majority Black, majority Hispanic zip codes. So even though they're 5% and 4% of zip codes, 40% of the Black population, 38% of the Hispanic population live in these zip codes, and 8% of Asian populations live in majority Asian zip codes. So to measure segregation at the MSA level, what we use these five measures that are recommended by Deaton and Massey, and they measure different aspects of segregation. The similarity index is essentially asks the question, what percentage of, it measures sort of evenness, how evenly distributed a population is across a metropolitan area, and then asks what percentage of people would have to move in order to evenly distribute that population across that MSA. And it's on a scale of 0 to 1. If all of the people have to move, then that's a complete segregation, it's 1. And if nobody had to move, that's complete integration, is 0. I won't go through each of these measures and explain how they're measured, but they're fairly commonly used in the sociology literature. What we do is we have a logistic regression, essentially what predicting whether a zip code is a physician shortage area, and our independent variables are whether or not it's a minority or majority zip code. We use age composition, gender composition, poverty status, poor, near poor percentage, educational attainment levels, and then home ownership also to control for in this analysis. We run two separate models, one a base model, which just includes those measures, and then another which interacts our health, our neighborhood measure with our segregation measure. Because what we're positing is not only whether a neighborhood is majority African-American or majority Hispanic, but it's whether that neighborhood is also in a place where the city is largely segregated, because then that in some ways dictates to how some of the community and private investments in that city are going to flow. And so we are positing that even a majority African-American zip code in a highly segregated city are going to have more likely be a physician shortage area than a majority African-American zip code in a fairly integrated city. So I just explained that we have a base model, interaction model. We do control for clustering at the MSA level, and this is in some ways trying to control for essentially factors that are related to the MSA that such as health status measures that are related within the are the same within each MSA. So this is some data. Basically, we know that there's a PCP shortage in the country. 16% of all zip codes are designated as, or I should say, 16% of the population, urban population, lives in zip codes that are designated as PCP areas. 13% of whites live in such zip codes. 25% of blacks. 24% of Hispanics, and 9% of Asians. So we're talking almost 1 in 4 blacks and Hispanics living in these kinds of zip codes. When you estimate the logistic, straight logistic model, looking at just controlling for those factors, age, gender, poverty status, and so forth like that, the relationships that we see from Hispanics goes away, but we still see a strong relationship for majority African-American zip codes, and that the odds is 1.5, so 50% more likely. And we think what's happening with the Hispanic zip codes is that they're very much correlated with the poverty, near-poor data, and so it's being picked up there. to get at this notion of whether segregation has an impact, what we do find is that the odds of being a PCP shortage area increases for majority African-American zip codes as segregation increases. And for Asian zip codes and for one of our measures for Hispanic zip codes, the opposite is true, in the sense that it seems as though that they're less likely to be PCP areas in places where there's lots of segregation for those groups. This is a chart that tries to demonstrate that the along the vertical axis is the odds ratios, along the horizontal axis is MSAs distributed from very low segregation to very high segregation. And we do this calculation for each measure. And what you can see, this is for majority African-American zip codes. As we move from the very low segregation areas to the very high segregation areas, the likelihood of that zip code or a majority African-American zip code being a physician shortage area increases. An example of a very high area is Nassau-Suffolk County in New York, Baltimore City. Example of a low areas would be someplace like Fayetteville, North Carolina. So this sort of supports our hypothesis. This is what the data looks like for Hispanics. For most of the measures in which we use, except for the isolation index, we don't see a relationship between whether Hispanic zip codes are more likely to be PCP shortage areas, except for with the exception of the isolation index, where it seems to go in the other direction. And this is the data for majority Asian zip codes. And here what we see, for most of our measures, we see the effect going in the other direction, in the sense that Asian zip codes in places which have low segregation tend to be more likely to be a physician shortage area relative to those in high areas. Some points for discussion. One is that in on the whole, I mean, there are too many urban zip codes that are PCP shortage areas, period. And 16% of the metropolitan population being in a physician shortage area on the whole should just be unacceptable, putting aside the race issues. A quarter of African Americans and Hispanics live in these kinds of zip codes, and it seems as though segregation makes the problem worse for African Americans. Now, there are some limitations with the AMA master file that we're using. We're looking at the primary office of the physician. I mean, physicians are more likely to have their second office in a African-American or Hispanic community, then that's obviously going to bump some of our numbers up. It biases it in that direction. We think with regard to what this says for discussion, one of the things that is probably influencing this is that reimbursement in both Medicare and Medicaid programs, which African-American populations depend upon significantly. And so if you're not able to sustain a practice with a large Medicaid population, then in a real sense, you're not going to be able to locate that office in that area. You have to locate it someplace else where you can get a better payer mix.
Darryl, you're over time.
I'm over time?
Yeah,
okay.
Sorry.
Do I need to move to the next slide?
That would be great if you could.
Okay.
Combine them in discussion.
Okay, well, that's fine. Well, then let me just finish this, and then I'll move to the next slide. What we think is going on with regard to Asians and Hispanics is that international medical grads are more likely to locate in states where there tends to be large Asian and Hispanic populations, and especially those persons from the Asian countries along the Pacific Rim, so the Koreas, China, and going into to Southeast Asia. And so in some sense, we think that maybe what's going on there is that when they come, they're more likely to locate in communities where language is an advantage for them, so they would locate in the Chinatown or the community where there's language congruence.